So we give God praise today because he is worthy. We thank him for what this week represents. Thank you for being here this morning. We want to talk about, obviously, what the day represents is this Palm Sunday. And as we think of Palm Sunday, we want to make sure we realize what it's talking about, what's in this story, what is the story of Palm Sunday. And so if you've been a Christian for a long time, you've probably heard this story before. And so if you're a new Christian and if you are just kind of getting used to this whole idea of the Jesus story, this is going to be pretty new for you. You know, interestingly enough, I was just talking to somebody the other day and we were talking about, I can't remember the context because I talked to so many people, but we were just sharing how there's people that in our sphere of influence that has never heard the story of Jesus. Like never heard about Jesus. I mean, if you can imagine, you know, as some of you are generational Christians, right? Let's just say that you're a generational Christian. You're a Christian by proxy. Like your parents pulled you to church and you said you're going to be in church every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night. Shake your heads yes if that's you. That was me. And so I was like a Christian whether I liked it or not when I was young because we always went to church. We were just in the church. That's what happened. That's what you did. Well, you know, there's some ministry philosophy that I have like opinions about that because getting your kids to church and becoming that regular church goer, you know, that's we can talk about that later because there's positives, obviously, and then there's negatives to it as well. And so what I am so thankful, though, is that the Word of God dug deep in my heart, and I became a Christian wholly, like firsthand, instead of just my parents making me be a Christian, so to speak. And so some of you have heard the story, but think about it. There's a whole generation out there, maybe even two, that have just quit going to church. They've just didn't feel the need. Everything was there's just too much going on, whether it's life in general, whether whatever is taking them away from learning about God and the story of Jesus. There's a whole generation out there. There's 20-somethings that have never heard the name Jesus before in this United States. And you think, wait a minute, there's no way. I mean, there's teenagers right now that have never heard the story of Jesus before. And you think, wow, how is that possible? I mean, all it is 10 years. A 10-year-old, a 15-year-old, if they've never heard Jesus' name in the story of, it's that easy to grasp. And so as a church, we get used to the Palm Sunday, the Easter Sunday morning. We get used to the whole story of Good Friday and what all that means. But I want to bring it to us this morning, and I want us to listen to it and hear it and let Holy Spirit just speak to us as if we've heard it for the very first time. And so as we think about what Palm Sunday it's all about, it's kind of like when you get over 40, it's kind of like having a birthday when you're over 40. Yeah, you know, when you get 40, you're like, cool, finally, I'm an adult or whatever, I'm 40 years old. But then after that, you're kind of going, ugh, yeah, happy birthday, really? No, it's not. It's kind of like that, yeah, it's my day, this is fun to have a birthday, but no, I'm getting older. And then I can imagine, I'm 47, I can imagine when you're 50, 60, when those milestones take place, you're just like, can we please just stop this? This isn't a happy birthday at all. So Palm Sunday is kind of like that for Jesus. It's kind of like that for us as Christians. Okay, so Palm Sunday is this time where we rejoice. We see Jesus. We see the story that he comes in. And we shout, Hosanna, we praise him. The King of Kings and the people of Jerusalem, they got palms and they got their cloaks and they laid them out in the pathway, and Jesus was praised, and it was an exciting time. Yet, to Jesus, it was kind of like, here we go, this is the beginning of the end. It wasn't so happy. It wasn't such a joyous time for Jesus, but for some reason, we have this account in which we are to study, in which we're to learn from, And I want to read it really quick out of Matthew chapter 21. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1 through 9. I'm just going to take a little portion of it today to talk about. And it says, as Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to a town of Bethphage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. He said, go into the village over there, he said. And as soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and then he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of them, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road as well. And Jesus was in the center of the procession. And the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest of heavens. As we see that beautiful story, that beautiful picture of Jesus, some Bibles in their headings call it the triumphal entry of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. I want to take a look at verse 3 really quick, and I think it's quite interesting how Jesus is saying, listen, I sends two of his disciples and says, go, I need you to go find me a donkey. Verse 3, it simply says, if anyone asks you what you're doing, just say, the Lord needs them. And he will immediately let you take them. And so I want to focus on this thought of the Lord needs them. The Lord needs it. Now, why would God need a donkey? Why would God need a donkey? Why would God need this? And in this passage, it says there was a donkey and then there was the colt of the donkey. So this one talks, in Matthew chapter 21, talks that there was really two animals. But Jesus was riding the colt, which is the colt of the donkey. And so the point is why would God ask for a donkey to ride? The Lord needs it. Well, as we explained in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, it says this, rejoice, O people of Zion, shout in triumph. O people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And so as we see this, again, this is prophecy, and Zechariah was an Old Testament prophet. And as he wrote this via Holy Spirit, he had to be writing and thinking, what is going on here? As the people of Jerusalem, as they usher in a king, can you imagine if you were Zechariah, as he wrote in Zechariah chapter 9, can you imagine what he is thinking? He said, why would a king, let alone riding on a donkey, but the colt of a donkey? And so Zechariah's got to be asking himself, what is happening here? What kind of king is this? And Lord, am I really supposed to write this? Because as we even know, we don't deal in kings much, but we've seen enough Disney movies to where we know kings ride in on like white horses, right? We get it. We understand that kings ride not on the foal of a donkey. And so as we see this, Jesus seeks out this donkey to fulfill prophecy. And so this prophecy of Zechariah, which was hundreds and hundreds of years earlier, was to be fulfilled. That Jesus was to humble himself as the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the creator of the universe, and yet he has humbled himself by riding on this colt. And so as I was studying this passage about the Lord needs it. Like Jesus specifically said to the disciples, he said, listen, if anybody asks you why you're untying the donkey here, just let them know you're not stealing it for anything. Just tell him that the Lord needs it. And so as I was thinking about this, Jesus rarely refers to him as the Lord. Did you realize that? Like it was capital L. He understands that that he rarely refers to himself as the Lord. There's very few passages of Scripture. But there's more passage of Scripture in which Jesus refers to the Heavenly Father as Lord. And so as Jesus, as I'm thinking, as I'm reading, as I'm studying this, could it be that Jesus was referring to God the Father when he said, the Lord needs it? Could it be that Jesus was actually giving worship to God the Father by saying that prophecy needs to be fulfilled? I am here to give praise to the Father because the Lord needs this. See, Jesus rarely asked for anything throughout the New Testament. There's one instance that I found. There may be a couple others that could that really maybe could allude to Jesus asking, but Jesus rarely asked for anything. It was in John chapter 4. He came up to the woman at the well. Remember the story? He said, can I get a drink of water? That's all. That's it. He never asked for anything for himself. Jesus never asked for anything. By the way, he didn't even get that drink of water from the woman because the things just took place and conversation happened. And you see, Jesus rarely asks for anything. And so I have reason to believe that Jesus is asking for God the Father that, hey, I don't necessarily need this donkey right now, but the Lord, the Father, needs this right now. We're giving praise. And so Jesus was giving praise. He was giving worship to the Father at that point. And so as we think about this, As God the Father wanted to know that Jesus was the Messiah, he wanted everyone to know. And Jesus was acting just in obedience to the Father. So here's where we have to kind of really separate our minds right now for a minute. When we think about the triune God, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, we believe, as Scripture teaches, is that we serve a triune God, the Trinity, Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. There's one God with three different parts, three different aspects: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Not three gods, but one. And so as we think about this, him being obedient to his Father, it really gives us a picture and shows us that Jesus was 100% human. He was 100% man. He went throughout this week, where we see that he is going to the cross and obviously finishes with the resurrection, but we're seeing Jesus act as the Son. And he's saying, God, the Lord, the Father, needs this, so we're going to fulfill prophecy today. And so people saw Jesus for who he really was. And so as Jesus mounted that colt, they began to say, glory to God, Hosanna, and give praise to the Father, just as they did 33 years ago. Think about the angels. Remember Christmas time when the angels were saying, glory to God, give praise to God for the Son. This was the act of not just giving Jesus praise, but an act from Jesus himself as the human, giving praise to his Heavenly Father as well. And so I thought that was pretty interesting that the Lord needed this donkey. Could it be that Palm Sunday, that triumphal entry, could it be that Jesus was doing that as well because God the Father knew that Jesus needed a little bit of encouragement? I mean, again, don't get me wrong. Jesus is God. The Father is God. The Holy Spirit is God. Don't get me wrong. I believe in the Trinity wholeheartedly, but here we have an instance where Jesus is truly showing his humanity. Jesus is humbling himself. He's beginning to show that he is in desperate, desperate need at this moment. And as we think about this, can you imagine, like, Jesus himself, that God the Father decided to say, I'm going to bless my Son with this. I'm going to bless my Son with this party. You know, as parents, we like to bless our kids. We like to honor our kids. As parents, we like to encourage our kids. And you know, one of the things is like giving them a birthday party. Why do we give them a birthday party? Because we want to bless them. We want them to make them feel special on their special day. I happen to feel that God the Father looks down upon his Son and says, Jesus, I'm going to give you this special day, and we're going to call it Palm Sunday. Because guess what? I believe that Jesus was preparing his heart, his fleshly heart, his mind, his physical body was understanding of what was going to take place in a few days. And so I believe that Jesus needed this. Jesus needed a little bit of earthly praise sometimes to kind of propel him into what he had to do for the next couple days, in the next couple days. I believe that this was a time where Jesus needed that encouragement from his followers, the people who loved him. Can you imagine if you were going to be sent to a cross? Can you imagine that you were about to die in 1 week's time? You would love people, your friends, your family, to come around you and say, "You've got this. You're doing this for the right reason. You are an amazing person. I know what you're dying for. We give you praise. We give God praise for you." And you think just maybe that Jesus needed a little bit of encouragement to propel him to do what he needed to do in the next week. And so as we think about Palm Sunday, which then leads us to Good Friday, as you read, and I encourage you, don't just take my words for it this morning. I want to encourage you this week, get into your Bible, read. Just study the scriptures about what's taking place as we prepare for Holy Week. Think about, read the preparation of Palm Sunday. Read about the arrest in which we talked about last week. Read about how Jesus was just groaning in anxiety. Read about the Last Supper. Read about the disciples. Read about the crucifixion. And as we think about Good Friday coming up, this Friday we celebrate it. We think about what it represents, the good about Friday. The Friday in which Jesus finally is arrested and he finally gives of himself, finally was crucified on a cross and suffered and bled and was in agony for our sins. It was a horrible Friday, but it was good. It was good. And so what I don't want to do is fast forward next Sunday morning as we celebrate the resurrection. I want to make sure that we lament. Even today, even this week, we lament what Jesus has done for you and for me on the cross. I want to be able to take this time this week to give thanks, give praise, celebrate, yet honor, respect, revere Jesus for what he has done. And so as we think about the cross, as we think about what it represents, as you and I, we can lament in our own lives. I'm telling you, this is such a great time for us as Christians to remember what Jesus has done for us. If you're in here today and you just need to take this week, maybe you need a fast. Maybe you need to take something, a lunch. Maybe it's all lunch. Maybe it's all of dinner. Maybe you just need to fast from television. Maybe you need to fast from something that you do every day and just lament and give thanks to God for what he's done. So I want to watch a video this morning as we kind of close our time together. I want this to be a time of lamenting, a time of worship. And so when we come back together next Sunday morning and we have crowds of people, by the way, and invite your friends, invite your neighbors to next week. We want to celebrate Jesus together, the resurrection king. We know what happens. It's not a secret. We know what happens. And we know what we're going to be celebrating next Sunday. But I want us to lament this week, to remember. I want us to just really wrestle with and thank and worship. So let's take this moment and let's do this as we watch this video.